We're going to be sharing about the call. The call, and in particular today, the call for obedience. I want to just share a little bit in general about the call and how we're defining that term and how it affects and impacts each one of our lives. Let's imagine that you get a call on your phone. I think most of you have cell phones, and the call, the caller ID says, God. God calling. The call. God, I want us to think about this idea of God's call on our lives. Not vocationally, not the call to be a missionary, not a call to go to the darkest, deepest parts of Africa, but specifically a call to a vital, dynamic relationship with God through faith in Jesus Christ. The call that God places, this is not exclusive to any person, it is a call that God calls everyone to this vital relationship with Him. Some of my favorite red words in the entire scripture are found in Matthew chapter 11. These are familiar words, and we use them in a lot of different contexts. But in this context, I want us to think about this idea of God calling us. And here's what Jesus says. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Do you hear that? Have you heard that call in your life for a vital relationship, for you to come to Christ, to have a relationship with Christ? Have you listened to His call? Throughout the New Testament in particular, God talks about in His Word about this idea of the call. This is a familiar scripture, and we use it again in many different contexts. But in this context, we know that all things work together. All things God works for the good, different translation here, of those who love Him who have been called according to His purpose. Paul is writing to Christian believers at the church at Rome and to us in particular, and those who have been called, the call to a dynamic relationship with Jesus Christ. Paul writes in Philippians 3:14, and Paul had accomplished a lot of things, and certainly God had a unique call upon the life of Paul. He became the missionary to the Gentile world. So that call aside, I believe in this context he's speaking about his personal relationship with God through faith in Jesus Christ. And he says, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Again, that dynamic, vital relationship with God. And then Paul says to the church at Ephesus, and again, I believe he's speaking in a broader context to the entire church. There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. God calling. God calling. Have you answered His call? Have you heard His call? Have you responded to His call in your life? In 2 Timothy, Paul writes, He saved us and called us. Did you know that God calls you to holiness? Did you know that God's standard for your life is for you to be perfect in Jesus Christ? Matthew 5:48, Jesus said, therefore, be perfect even as your heavenly Father is perfect. So this call that God places on our lives should pull us upward. The call of God on our lives, in general, thinking about this idea of the call. In 1 Corinthians 1:9, the Word of God says, God who has called you Every one of us. God is not willing that any should perish, but all come to repentance. God has called you into fellowship with His Son, Jesus Christ. And God is faithful in that. So, we want to explore what this call of God to be a fully devoted follower of Jesus Christ might look like. What are the basics? What are the non-negotiables of the call of God? Again, a call for every single one of us. There's no one excluded here this morning. And we want to draw upon key individuals from the Bible that will help us to realize and understand the particular aspects of the call of God on our lives. Today, we want to talk about the call of God, the call for obedience. And the example that we want to use is Noah. And there's many things, many lessons that come from Noah and his famous ark. It's one of the great Bible stories, Bible accounts. I hesitate to say stories because I believe these things are true. Bible accounts. And we've used it in Sunday school and Bible school, and we know of Noah and the ark. But today, in particular, I want us to think in terms of obedience, of God's obedience. Noah and the ark, someone put together a little list entitled, All I Really Need to Know, I Learned from Noah's Ark. And this is just a little side note. First, Noah didn't wait for a ship to come in. He built one. Plan ahead. It wasn't raining when Noah built the ark. Stay fit. When you're 500 years old, someone might ask you to do something really big. Speed isn't always an advantage. The cheetahs were on board the ark, but so were the snails. Remember that the ark was built by amateurs and the Titanic was built by professionals. No matter how bleak it looks, if God is with you, there's always a rainbow on the other side. And above all else, don't miss the boat. Don't miss the boat. Obedience to God. If you have a Bible or if you have a Bible app on your phone, I want to look at a few verses. This whole story of Noah and his obedience is played out in particularly in Genesis chapter 6, 7, and 8. Genesis 6, I want to begin reading with verse 5. The Lord saw how great man's wickedness on the earth had become, and that every inclination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil all the time. The Lord was grieved that he had made man on the earth, and his heart was filled with pain. So the Lord said, I will wipe mankind whom I have created from the face of the earth, men and animals and creatures that move along the ground and birds of the air, for I am grieved that I have made them. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. This is the account of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and he walked with God. He walked with God. He walked with God. Last week we talked about the Micah passage. And one of the things that God requires, the most important things, is that we walk with Him, that we walk with God. Let's pray and we'll unpack this a little more. Lord, we ask for Your Holy Spirit to impart truth to our minds and our hearts and our spirits so that we might know and understand this vital aspect of obedience in our relationship with You. Help us to hear from You today. Help us to hear the call that You place on each and every one of our lives. Not a call to a particular vocation, but a call to a relationship. A daily, vital relationship with You. As we think about this area of obedience, help us to hear from You today. And may Your Holy Spirit be at work. In Christ's name, amen. Amen. So, I want us to take a few moments to consider some very basic ideas about this aspect of obedience and or disobedience. First of all, disobedience is sin. Disobedience, call it whatever you want, call it mistakes or whatever. But when we disobey God, it is sin. When we disobey the known will of God, it is sin. In 1 Samuel chapter 15, there's a story about King Saul, an account about King Saul. And as you may or may not know, Israel demanded a king. And Samuel was their prophet in that day, and Samuel didn't want the people of God. God was to be their king, and was to be their ruler, and they begged for a king. All the other nations around us want a king, so we want a king too. And so finally, Samuel was dejected and said, they're not listening to me. And God said, it's not your fault. And give him a king. So they anointed King Saul. And King Saul was an impressive guy. He was tall. He was a head and shoulders above, a head taller than everybody else. So he was very kingly in his appearance. But his demeanor and his actions were not very kingly. So in 1 Samuel 15, God gives the order for Samuel, or for King Saul and the military to utterly eliminate the entire population of Amalekites. Now, don't ask me to explain that other than God pronounced judgment on those people. But the bottom line is that King Saul only partially obeyed God. He saved the king and he saved some of the animals. And then when he was questioned about it by the prophet Samuel, he said, well, the soldiers are the ones that brought these. And they kept them for sacrifices. And so here's what the prophet Samuel had to say to King Saul. Does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as in obeying the voice of God? Obeying the voice of the Lord. To obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed is better than the fat of rams, for rebellion is like the sin of divination and arrogance like the evil of idolatry. To obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed, is better than the fat of rams. To obey is better than sacrifice. We need to hear those words. To obey is better than sacrifice. In Genesis chapter 6, in our account, we find that evil is prevalent in people were disobeying the direct commands of God. And the Lord saw how great man's wickedness on earth had become, and that every inclination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil all the time. So we can look around and see things in our world that would give indication that this is true of our day and of our time. Sin. Disobedience is sin. Disobedience to God is sin. Sin separates us from God. Sin separates us from God. Sin grieves the heart of God. Verse 6, the Lord was grieved that he had made man on the earth, and his heart was filled with pain. God was grieved. God was pained by the decisions that mankind had made. Sin separates us from God. Earlier in Genesis, we read the account of Adam and Eve in the garden. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the garden after they had eaten of the forbidden fruit. They realized they were naked. They hid themselves. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Can you imagine that having a previous relationship where Adam and Eve and God walked together and had fellowship together, and then all of a sudden God shows up one day and they are hiding. They're hiding from you, from him. How hurtful, how that must have pained the heart of God that they were hiding. God knew where they were. God knows everything. But he called out to them, Adam, where are you? And God continued. And to this day, God continues, and the call of God is to pursue a love relationship, a dynamic relationship with humankind. We were created for this, for a relationship with God. We were created to give glory to God, and to honor him, and to live in relationship with him. But sin is what separates us from God. Specifically, Isaiah 59:2 says, your iniquities have separated you from God. Your sins have separated you from God. And we know what Paul said in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. And we're not just talking about physical death here. We're talking about spiritual, eternal separation from God. Sin separates us from God. Thirdly, unrepentant sin brings judgment. Unrepentant sin brings judgment. In the Genesis passage, the Noah and the Ark story, so the Lord God said, I will wipe mankind whom I have created from the face of the earth, men and animals and creatures that move along the ground and the birds of the air, for I am grieved that I have made them. And more specifically, God was grieved for the decisions that they had made. How could a loving God do this? Ezekiel 18:20, the Bible says, the soul who sins shall die. There is judgment. Unrepentant sin brings judgment. The son shall not bear the guilt of the father, nor the father that bear the guilt of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon himself, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon himself. So each one, Paul says in Romans, that each one of us will stand before God and will be held accountable for the decisions that we have made. So how could a loving God do this? We forget that not only is God a loving God, but God is a God of justice. God is a God of justice. The people of Noah's day were given time to repent of their wicked ways. If you look in Genesis chapter 5, verse 32, the last verse of chapter 5 says Adam was 500 years old. Noah was 500 years old. When Noah entered the ark, Noah was 600 years old. So there was a span of 100 years there. Now, we don't know exactly when Noah heard from God the command to build the ark. We don't know. So it could have been that there was 100 years that people had the opportunity to repent and to turn to God. Because the Bible tells us in another spot, it tells us that that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, Hebrews 11:7, in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. And more specifically, in 2 Peter, the Bible says, if he, God, did not spare the ancient world when he brought the flood on its ungodly people, but protected Noah, a preacher of righteousness. So by his very actions, and I'm sure also by his words, because I'm sure there were lots of questions that Noah faced as he was building this humongous boat on dry land, but protected Noah, a preacher of righteousness, and seven others, and the salvation of his family. God brings judgment on unrepentant sin. And the people had a chance to repent. Another well-known Bible account is that of Jonah and the whale. Remember, Jonah was sent to Nineveh, and he was sent there because they were wicked and they needed to repent. And he was sent there to preach, and he preached. And what happened? The people of Nineveh turned to God. And they were spared. God was ready to pronounce judgment on Nineveh, but they responded to the message that Jonah brought, and they were spared. The people of Noah's day had the same opportunity. Noah was a witness by building this great boat that he was building. And the Bible tells us that he was a preacher of righteousness. So righteousness simply being made right with God. People had an opportunity. People experienced the chance to repent of their evil ways, but every inclination of their heart was continually wicked, and they did not repent, so God's judgment came. So, the bottom line here is God requires obedience. God requires obedience. This is the call of God for each one of our lives. God says obey, and we must trust and honor him. I want us to see how this plays out. It says in Genesis 6:9, Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and he walked with God. Noah was obedient to God. Of all the things that we say about and conclusions we could draw from Noah and the ark, we have to draw this conclusion that Noah was obedient to God in relationship to him, which is in general what all of us are called to. All right? Now, God called Noah to a specific task. And if we want to measure obedience, we can look in the scriptures. Genesis 6:22, Noah did what? Everything just as God commanded him. Noah did complete, total, not partial obedience. Oh, well, you know, I don't know that, you know, you said put pitch on the outside of the boat, but I don't think I need to on the inside. Nah. Or, you know, God said, make this boat by our English measurements 450 feet long. Now, picture this. How many of you have been to the boat in Kentucky by Cincinnati? Some of you have visited. I see those hands. So you have an idea of the size of this massive boat that God commanded Noah to build. 450 feet long, a football field and a half, 75 feet wide, 45 feet high. People who understand nautical structures, ship building, understand that this was a very viable, stable dimension for a ship. And it's well documented that it had three decks and that it was able to accommodate the major species that existed in the world in that day. So, the account of Noah. Noah did everything just as God commanded him. Later on, chapter 7, and Noah did all that the Lord commanded him. Noah was obedient. And I believe his obedience started with what we see in verse 9. Noah walked with God. Noah had a relationship with God. Noah had answered the call to that relationship, and he walked with God. The Bible, in the early parts of the book of Genesis, we find the character of Enoch. Enoch walked with God, and he was no more. As far as we know, God took him to heaven. God requires obedience. Obedience. Jesus said, if anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. At the most basic level, God commands us first to love him supremely, and secondly, to love one another as ourselves. God commands us to love him, others as ourselves. God commands us to forgive as we have been forgiven. Are we obeying these most basic commands? As we consider God's call upon us, to be in relationship with God comes before what we do. Do you understand that? The call of God, the call to be in relationship with him through faith in Jesus Christ comes before. We want to know what God wants us to do, don't we? We want to know the will of God. God, what should I do? What should I do? It starts with being. It starts with he walked with God. She walked with God. Joe walked with God. Fred walked with God. Sue walked with God. That's where it begins. Being in relationship. Do you understand that? Somebody say amen. Amen. That's where it starts. Walking with God. Being in relationship with God. Mother Teresa has been quoted as saying, God does not call us to do great things. She was saying, you know, maybe you will do great things, but he's not called us to do great things, but to do small things with great love. So that love comes only through God. Again, maybe you will do great things. I don't know. But if not, will you live your life, no matter what your vocational calling, doing whatever you do with great love? With great love. Because of your relationship. Because of obedience to God. Because of honoring and living for God at the most basic levels possible. Noah obeyed God, and he saved himself and his family. Obedience is a requirement, not optional, not optional. As the old hymn has it correctly, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Charles Stanley, one of the great preachers of our time from the Atlanta area, says, obedience is doing what God says, how he says, and when he says to do it. Now, obedience is not only the will of God for us, but it is the best way to live. It's the best way to live. The Lord gave us his commands for our own good. But anytime we try to manipulate or maneuver around them, we are settling for second best. We can never improve on what God has said. Like a loving father, God wants to protect us by giving us rules, guidelines, borders. I like this cartoon. Maybe you've seen it. We had it posted on the bulletin board for quite a while. The guy says, I hate being confined by this fence. I'm jumping over it. Wait, not a fence. It's a guardrail. It's a guardrail. Obedience to the known will of God, to love God supremely, to love ourselves, to forgive, the known will of God, obedience to those things is what God calls us to. Eugene Peterson has written, and I close, the only opportunity you will ever have to live by faith, in other words, to live out this call to obedience, the only opportunity you will ever have to live by faith is in the circumstances you are provided this very day. The house you live in, the family you find yourself in, the job you have been given, the weather conditions that prevail at this moment, now is the time to obey God. So, the question is simple. Will you answer the call of God on your life to be completely obedient in this day, in this moment, and in all your days to come? Let's pray together. Gracious God, we thank you. We thank you for the example we have of a preacher of righteousness, this character, Noah, and his famous ark. So many lessons we could determine, we could discover here, but the one clear and basic lesson we find is this lesson of complete obedience to God in all things. God, there's so many pockets of our lives where we just want to ignore what you have to say to us. We want to partially obey. We want your blessing, but we don't want to sacrifice or to serve or to completely obey. So convict our hearts right now, the places where we stand in disobedience, and may we totally and completely obey you in all things, as did Noah. And God, in doing so, we build an ark of safety for not only our lives, but for the lives of those around us. It affects everything. Everything that we do, every decision we make, we say, what would God have me to do? Help us to obey God. We'll give you praise and thanks for what you're going to do in our hearts. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's stand and sing together a very appropriate song as we close. God wants holiness and righteousness of our lives and faithfulness.